veggie stand. So please keep in mind there's some baked goods and other odds and ends over in the social hall that are, of course, free will offering as always. So please maybe take some home and leave a little offering behind. A number of other announcements, of course, this morning. Keep in mind this upcoming week. As we've been announcing for a few weeks, there's the outreach program meeting on Tuesday at 3:30. On Wednesday, there is a centennial committee meeting and a stewardship committee meeting. And then some of our ongoing activities as usual during the week. One important note, another thing about today as well, we do have the blessing boxes today, so please keep that in mind. Another fun way to share some of your offering. But also next week, our praise band is doing a little swap with First Lutheran in Aiken. So the praise band folks will be up there, and their praise band will be down here. But actually, they won't be here. They'll be out in the social hall. So if you guys want to be in worship, you have to not sit in the pews here. You got to go sit out in the social hall because they have a big praise band, and we don't have a whole lot of room up here. So they're going to be leading the worship service out in the social hall next week. And since George really isn't feeling like drumming lately, I'm the backup drummer, so I will be with him up in Aiken, pastor and backup drummer, and, you know, you get a lot of different duties as a pastor. So Pastor Terry, that many of you know, that was interim here before I started, will be here next Sunday preaching on the last chunk from Ruth. So we want to thank Pastor Terry for filling in. So let's see. Oh, another thing we're going to try out this morning. We had planned to do this maybe in a few weeks, but we've been debating starting including more elements of sung liturgy in our worship service. But Jim and I were thinking this week that since their praise band will be here next week, they might actually try one out on you. So we thought we should maybe try it this morning first. So after our confession and forgiveness, I might try to teach you guys one of the Kyries that is in the hymnal and has a little bit of a contemporary feel to it. That's what we talked about, right, Jim, today? Yeah, just making sure. So I just want to make sure that in case they do play it on you next week, it won't be completely new to you. Let's see. Is there any other announcements people have this morning? Grateful for the choir behind me again, as always. All right. Well, if there aren't any other announcements, our opening hymn is hymn 712, hymn 712, verses 1, 3, and 4. Thank you. Blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God, full of compassion and mercy, abounding in steadfast love. Amen. Trusting God's promise of forgiveness, let us confess our sin against God and one another. Eternal God, our Creator, in you we live and move and have our being. Look upon us, your children, the work of your hands. Forgive us all our offenses and cleanse us from proud thoughts and empty desires. By your grace, draw us near to you, our refuge and our strength. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Since we are justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit given to us. In the mercy of Almighty God, Christ died for us while we still were sinners. And for his sake, God forgives you all your sins. Amen. Please open your hymnals to page 184 in the front. Right. So this Kyrie has sort of a call and response thing going on, which is often the case with Kyries, but you guys are just responsible for singing that part there with the musical notes. So I'll try to get the music to play. We'll see if that'll work. But if not, this is basically kind of how it goes. So you sing, Kyrie eleison, on our world and on our way. Try that part out. Kyrie eleison, on our world and on our way. Kyrie eleison, every day. So that's pretty simple. I have the hard part. I got to sing these parts in between. But let's see if we can get some music to go with it, if I'm lucky. Or if I'm not. Oh.
For the unity of all, for this holy house, for all who worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord. Let us pray to the Lord. Here he is. Impassioned response to the hungry and the poor, that we may live out truth and justice and grace, let us pray to the Lord. Let us pray to the Lord. Hear me. Our work and our play, let us.
job, everyone. Good job. Have you been sneaking out to First Lutheran? That's okay. It's okay. It's fine. All right. Well, let us pray. Oh God, eternal goodness, immeasurable love, you place your gifts before us. We eat and are satisfied. Fill us in this world in all its need with the life that comes only from you. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. You may be seated.
No one else but you who can take away my fears. It is you I'm running to. You're the God who is my peace in the midst of all my pain. May this song from my heart reach you. I believe in all. There's no one else but you who can take away my fears. It is you I'm running to. You're the God who is my peace in the midst of all my pain. May this song from my heart reach you. Let my prayers fill this place. Reach you. Thank you.
Our main reading this morning and our third in our series on Ruth is from Ruth chapter 3, verses 1 through 18. Naomi, her mother-in-law, said to her, "My daughter, I need to seek some security for you so that it may be well with you. Now here is our kinsman Boaz, with whose young women you have been working. See, he is winnowing barley tonight at the threshing floor. Now wash and anoint yourself, and put on your best clothes and go down to the threshing floor. But do not make yourself known to the man until he has finished eating and drinking. When he lies down, observe the place where he lies. Then go and uncover his feet and lie down, and he will tell you what to do." She said to her, "All that you tell me to do, I will do." So she went to the threshing floor and did just as her mother-in-law had instructed her. When Boaz had eaten and drunk, and he was contented in mood, he went to lie down at the end of the heap of grain. Then she came stealthily and uncovered his feet and lay down. At midnight the man was startled and turned over, and there, lying at his feet, was a woman. He said, "Who are you?" And she answered, "I am Ruth, your servant. Spread your cloak over your servant, for you are next of kin." He said, "May you be blessed by the Lord, my daughter. This last instance of your loyalty is better than the first. You have not gone after young men, whether rich or poor. And now, my daughter, do not be afraid. I will do for you all that you ask, for all the assembly of my people know that you are a worthy woman. But now, though it is true that I am near kinsman, there is another kinsman more closely related than I. Remain this night and in the morning, if he will act as next of kin for you, good, let him do it. If he is not willing to act as next of kin for you, then as the Lord lives, I will act as next of kin for you. Lie down until morning." So she lay at his feet until morning, but got up before one person could recognize another. For he said, "It must not be known that a woman came to the threshing floor." Then he said, "Bring the cloak you are wearing and hold it out." So she held it, and he measured out 6 measures of barley and put it on her back. Then he went into the city. She came to her mother-in-law, who said, "How did things go with you, my daughter?" Then she told her all that the man had done for her, saying, "He gave me these 6 measures of barley, for he said, 'Do not go back to your mother-in-law empty-handed.'" She replied, "Wait, my daughter, until you learn how the matter turns out, for the man will not rest, but will settle the matter today." The word of the Lord. Please rise for the reading of our gospel passage. Our gospel this morning is from the Gospel of Matthew, the 7th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. "Ask, and it will be given you. Search, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened for you. For everyone who asks receives, and everyone who searches finds. And for everyone who knocks, the door will be opened." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
You may be seated. O grace, mercy, and peace to you from God, our Father, through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. It is, of course, customary that a pastor often begins their sermon by telling a humorous or interesting anecdote or story. At least that's what they attempt to do. It's a way to grab the congregation's attention and ease them into a more serious reading of the Bible. But it hardly seems necessary to do that today. Now, I get on its surface, this story seems kind of odd. You know, there's some, you know, feet, and there's some grain exchange, and some weird kinsman sort of promises. But as I've hinted for a few weeks now, this is like the spiciest chapter of the story of Ruth, and it's got a little bit going for it in terms of the Bible in general. It's a funny story. It's an interesting one. It's, you know, for all the sort of boring or outright bad Bible movies that are out there, I'm so surprised that the story of Ruth has not yet found its way onto the big screen. You know, we don't need another movie about Noah or Moses. I mean, they're fine folks, I'm sure, but Ruth really has a story going on here. You know, and this isn't some story that's, you know, it's not like some Jane Austen novel or even Edith Wharton or something like that. You know, all this love and lust and high society and everybody's so restrained, but they also want to find love. You know, this is sort of a very earthy kind of a story. You know, there's social customs going on, and yet it's a fairly radical story for its time and place. Last week, of course, we saw that Boaz was this honorable man, that Ruth and Naomi have been suffering in this time of famine. They have lost husband. They have lost sons. They've traveled back to Naomi's home. And thankfully, by the generosity of Boaz, they've been able to get some extra food through picking up gleanings and extra food that Boaz has given them as they have seen the love that they have for one another. And as the chapter opens, we see Naomi concerned about her daughter-in-law and ready to hatch a plan to ensure her security. Yet under the surface a little, I think we can kind of see that Naomi is still wrestling with a more sentimental notion of love, right? She's still wrestling with the concept of hope and blessing. She's wrestling with the idea that God is watching out for them fully and completely. I mean, maybe she's just drawing on some good motherly advice passed down from her own youth. But also, you kind of get this air of sort of blunt, sort of unsentimental practicality. You know, it's sort of, hey, listen up, dear. Let's be realistic. You know, my daughter-in-law. This is a time of famine. We are alone in this world. And here's this nice, rich farmer. You know, he seems like a nice guy. He's even a relative. So, there, you know, there's some of this social pressure to do the honorable thing. And, you know, he's probably willing to take us in. I bet if you, you know, kind of cozy up to him, you can just seal the deal. You know, it's no, I kind of saw how you guys were looking at each other. I saw the sparkle in your eyes. There's none of this, oh, you two would be so cute together. There's no, oh, your personalities would really mesh. You know, I can see you guys working out well. No, there's just sort of a note about security. You know, security is not a word that gets thrown around in a lot of romantic poetry, right? You know, it's like, oh, these two would be so secure together. You know, last week we were singing, you know, sort of love songs, breakup songs. Not a lot of those feature the word security. It's certainly an important one, especially in that time and place. It's one that no doubt was on Naomi's mind as she wants to make sure that both she and her daughter-in-law don't struggle with hunger, they don't struggle with want. And so she does hatch a plan, but it doesn't exactly seem like a love match is really top on her list of priorities. So the mother-in-law reminds Ruth that, hey, there's a big party tonight. It's harvest time. They're kind of just finishing that up. And since there have been all these years of famine, it's probably a time of good celebration, a good cause for celebration. So put on your best clothes, Ruth. You know, sprinkle on some good-smelling perfume. And when Boaz is good and toasty, right, get cozy with him. And when he awakes, he'll take it from there. Now, as I've hinted a number of times by now, this is one of those Bible stories where translators have probably been a little overly cautious, deciding to be a little restrained, even while maybe they snicker a little bit under their breath. And there's a couple occasions. First, and perhaps most scandalous, is this referring to the foot. Now, maybe it sounds pretty boring for us, but in ancient Israel, on occasion, not all the time, the foot is a euphemism for, let's say, another part, a more distinctive part of the male anatomy. So when Ruth suggests that Ruth get nice and cozy with Boaz, she's perhaps suggesting he get nice and cozy with Boaz. Not something we're used to reading in the Bible on occasion. Makes the pastor sweat a little bit, you know. We sang breakup songs last week. Maybe I should be singing a little Barry White or a little Sinatra this week. I won't. Don't worry. That second is that bit about Boaz after the harvest celebrations, where the Bible, again, is perhaps, or the translators are being a little generous. It says, when Boaz had eaten and drunk and was in a contented mood, he went to lie down at the end of a heap of grain. Now, remember, this is a party atmosphere. It's a celebration after the harvest, after many years of famine. And Boaz is a wealthy guy. He doesn't need to fall asleep on a haystack in the barn. When it says that he is comfortably, what is it, comfortably pleasant or whatever, he's in a very contented mood, right? He has eaten and drunk his fill, and he has just collapsed, passed out in the barn on a stack of hay. Boaz has been having a good time. He's an honorable man, but Boaz knows how to cut loose when the occasion calls for cutting loose a little bit. But, of course, even though there's all these kind of little things we can laugh at and we can have some fun with, even though we do have to remember that this isn't just something to snicker at. You know, we don't know exactly what went on. These are honorable people. Whether this is the stuff of the paperback romance or this is just meant to show us just how intimate and how close they were getting, the truth is that we see something very interesting when Boaz does awake and when Ruth is found there at the foot of Boaz. Even though Ruth has followed her mother's advice up until now, she does make tweaks to her mother-in-law's plan. She doesn't wait for Boaz to tell her what to do. She speaks up. She asks him to marry her. As I said, this is a fairly radical story. Think about this. Even now, it's a little bit unusual if the woman asks the guy to marry him. But especially in ancient Israel, here is Ruth taking charge of her own life. As we've seen before, she's not just someone who's going to get swept away by the events of history. She makes decisions. She makes choices about her life. As I said, she takes charge. She sees something in Boaz that it is an honorable and good man. And even though there are some intimate implications going on, even though there's a little sneakiness going on at the urging of Ruth, at the urging of Naomi, Ruth is an honorable woman as well. And perhaps, too, you know, this is why at first everybody seems so restrained and polite, because we want to make it clear that people are being honorable to one another, that this is a cause of love that is being forwarded here. You know, Boaz, too, is an honorable man. When Ruth looks at him, she finds something to love in him, and it isn't his money, it isn't the security that he might provide. She sees a person who is kind and generous, who's not going to take advantage of her, who welcomes her, who helps her and her mother-in-law be fed. And it's not even just about family. It's about love. It's about kindness. And so Ruth sees in him a person who has worth and value of another kind. And when Boaz looks at her, he sees an honorable woman in her. Not just a pretty young woman, not just a desperate woman who should just be happy with whoever she gets, right? This is an honorable person. This is a person who shows great love to her mother-in-law when she didn't have to. And though it never seems to be an issue for Ruth, I think there does seem to be an issue that Boaz is struggling with his self-worth. He might be a wealthy man. He might be a respected man. But he somehow sees in himself a man that's perhaps a little bit past his prime, right? It's not Ruth that brings up the whole idea that there are younger men out there, that there are more handsome men out there, that there might even be even richer men out there. Boaz is concerned about that. You know, we don't know much about his backstory, but if he is an older man, why hasn't he been married before now? Maybe he has lost someone he has loved in his life. Maybe he has just been lonely throughout his life and doesn't feel that he is a person of worth. And so it's an amazing thing when these two people meet and they see in them, in each other, people who are wonderful, kind, generous, worthy, valuable people. They see in something in each other that is more than skin deep. You know, there aren't these great sonnets that they pour out for one another. There is sort of this formal sort of formality about the kind of the relationship and how it has to progress a little bit. But in these two, we see this again, right? That fun Hebrew word, chesed. We see this love of God, this loyal love of God. And of course, it should be noted again that Ruth is also a foreigner. As much as there was strong cultural and religious duty for Israelites to be kind to travelers and strangers, there are a number of places in the Bible where there do seem to be cautions against marrying outside of your faith, marrying outside of the Israelite people. Solomon, in particular, gets in trouble he begins to go astray when he marries, right? He has all these wives and concubines from all these different countries, and that's sort of where he gets in trouble. But Boaz doesn't see Ruth's foreign status as a deal breaker. He doesn't even see it as something that he loves her in spite of that fact. He loves her because of that fact. Because that means that she has even less reason to follow her mother-in-law to this foreign land. It shows even more how she is this person of honor and of loyalty. It shows her even more as a person of hesed, that she shows a reflection of God's own loyal love. He doesn't look at her like some greedy foreigner who's come to mooch off of him. He doesn't see her as some threat to his society that will lead his people astray, his family astray. He looks at her and sees beneath the surface. He sees her as a person of love and loyalty and honor. And we can always use a few more Boazes these days. And again, even as Naomi struggles to see all this love that is flowing between these two people, between her and her daughter-in-law, between Boaz and her daughter-in-law and Boaz and her in time, too, Ruth and Boaz see it on her behalf. And next week, maybe we'll see how the whole rest of the community sees it as well. You know, even when Naomi is still struggling with this idea to risk loving again, to risk hoping again, we see again how the fruits of that love that Ruth has for her are borne out and how they create all kinds of other love that is set in motion. More than any affection between Boaz and Ruth, it is the affection between Ruth and Naomi that puts this whole ball into motion. And so, yeah, maybe, sometimes the honorable work a little slow. Maybe Boaz was a little slow on the uptake. Maybe it takes a little cunning to put things going a little faster. Maybe God didn't explicitly sanction all the details of Naomi's plan. But we see in these two God's own love, God's own chesed. We see God's love, God's loyalness, God's faithfulness for his people. We see God's unending love for us. We see that love that sees us through the most difficult times in our lives, that helps bind us together, that helps form families of all kinds, whether it's a bond of blood, whether it's genetics at play that are forming that family, or whether it is the kind of family that's formed in all kinds of other ways, formed between friends, people that meet in congregations, people that find each other as neighbors, these kinds of bonds that draw us all together in any number of ways. We see God drawing these people together. We see this love that works in and through us, that helps us to treat one another with kindness and generosity, to work hard, right? Again, we see Ruth working hard. She carries all this grain on her back again, about 60 pounds worth back to her mother-in-law. We see love that is unfailing, that sees us through all kinds of journeys. We see love that helps us see in one another people of worth and value, not based on all the surface stuff that our society would have us fix up, that would have us be perfect. We see a love that sees to our core of our being, that sees us as people who are worthy, who are children of God together, not based on our youth or our looks or our country of origin, but as people loved and bound together by God. Amen. Thank you. Let us confess our faith together using the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Trusting in our loving and almighty God, who abundantly provides the bread of life to all who hunger, let us pray for the church, the world, and all who are in need. Holy God, you give gifts and talents to every member of the church. Strengthen all your children and bring them to a full understanding and maturity in Christ. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Creator God, our complex and wonderful world is a sure sign of your abundance and care. Provide for every creature, and rain down the bread of heaven that gives life to the world. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Peaceful God, draw the nations of the world to harmony and mutual understanding. Bind all of humanity in the unity of love and peace that comes through the Spirit. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Gracious God, we pray for those who are hungry, homeless, and who have lost family or friends. Lead them to places of safety, food, and rest. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Merciful God, you have brought us all together in this time and place. Bless this congregation, including those who are absent, and draw us into closer communion with you, each other, and our community. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Good and gracious God, we continue to lift up in prayer those we keep at close at heart and in our minds. We remember this morning Jerry Becker and George and Don, that your healing presence may restore them to health, that you may be their source of comfort and strength. And now, O God, we lift up all those other prayers that are on our minds and in our hearts, and we lift them to you now, either out loud or in silence. Infinite God, we praise you for the lives of those who have died in Christ. Keep our hearts in hope, for we have all received the food that endures to eternal life. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Almighty and loving God, we look to you in hope and trust, knowing that you will do far more than we can ask or imagine. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord.
Amen.
The peace of Christ be with you always. Please show a sign of that peace with one another.
You have set this feast before us. Open our hands to receive it. Open our hearts to embrace it. Open our lives to live it. We pray this through Christ our Lord. Amen.
Holy, mighty, and merciful Lord, heaven and earth are full of your glory. In great love you sent to us Jesus, your Son, who reached out to heal the sick and suffering, who preached good news to the poor, and who on the cross opened his arms to all. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread and gave thanks and broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." And again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people, for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." Remembering, therefore, his death, resurrection, and ascension, we await his coming in glory. Pour out upon us the spirit of your love, O Lord, and unite the wills of all who share this heavenly food, the body and blood of Jesus Christ, our Lord, to whom with you and the Holy Spirit be all honor and glory, now and forever.
Amen.
Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
You may be seated. All is ready. All are welcome. Thank you.
Let us pray. Jesus Christ, host of this meal, you have given us not only this bread and cup, but your very self, that we may feast on your great love. Filled again by these signs of your grace, may we hunger for your reign of justice, may we thirst for your way of peace, for you are Lord forevermore. Amen.
May God, whose power working in us can do infinitely more than we can ask or imagine, grant you the gifts of faith and hope. Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, bless you now and forever.
Amen.
Our closing hymn is hymn 787.